Is Fox still trying to sell their wares? Maybe. Did the Infinity War change our lives? Absolutely. And is my favorite character from Runaways here in the studio today? Yes. This is Marvel Movie News.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Marvel Movie News.
Excelsior to you, our merry Marvelites. This is a very, very special episode of Marvel Movie News. We are coming to you live from Los Angeles. Accurate and real, but also from Brentwood and Malibu. Because The Runaways is out, it is great. We didn't have enough time to talk about it last week, so we're making up for that in spades this week. Now, I'm going to introduce our guest, but first, I'm going to tell you, you can find us on iTunes at Marvel Movie News. You can find us on our website. You can find us at youtube.com/popcorntalknetwork. You can find us on Twitter at Marvel News BTN or at The Popcorn Talk. You can find us on Facebook, which I finally found out the login to, so I'll be on there more at facebook.com/Marvel News Show. Follow us, like us, and if you tweet a link asking people to join us while we are live, Ant-Manthony in the booth will retweet you.
How about them Runaways? Oh my God, what a great show. I gotta say, can't wait to talk about it.
So I am real hype because, as always, Markeia McCarty is joining us today.
Yes, M-A-R-K-E-I-A-M-C-C-A-R-T-Y.
On Instagram and Twitter. No, on Instagram, yeah. Dart Thin Mints. Right? Oh, no, that's Snapchat.
That's Snapchat.
She has the
my Snapchat
medias.
Is Dark
She's
Thin
ahead
Mints.
Of the game.
So is my Twitch. So, Dark Thin Mints.
I'm excited for this show because I have a character on this new show, The Runaways, that I enjoy very much. He's a character in the books that I liked casually, but the man next to me made him more than just that character. Oh, and I gotta say, Ryan Sands, thanks so much for joining us, man.
Oh, man, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So stoked, dude. I was sitting on Twitter last week, and out of nowhere, I get a tweet like, hey, thanks for the shout-out. And I love when fans are like, hey, thanks for the shout-out. And then I was like, I got Alex Mayer. I'm gonna... Oh! Expletive deleted for PG show. But yeah, I'm so excited. I'm really digging the show, man.
Cool. Well, first of all, likewise, I'm digging your show. That's
Appreciate
how I know
it.
About that shout-out. Yeah, I'm a fan.
I did that. The Smallest World. Like that was my first like Deadpool meta moment.
Yeah. You guys did a great job here. But yeah, thank you, man. Thank you. I'm glad you're enjoying the show. It's a lot of fun to be a part of it. I'm enjoying it. You know.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we're carving out a whole chunk of the show today. Last week we wanted to talk about it. We only had to watch 1 through 3. Now we've watched through 5. So we're gonna talk about today's episode and all. We're gonna do that near the end. But since it's me leading a show and Markeia is here. We got to start with Black Panther.
You know we do.
I'm being fair.
You know this is happening.
The legacy of Matt Key lives on. So, what do you think of that new poster?
I love it. Because, you know, for any of the other spaceheads like me that are like, oh, we're in retrograde and we're really getting, you know, just kicked by retrograde. I loved that this poster had come out. It was like November 30th or whatnot. And it reminded me of how I feel with just like cosmic in general, with your racing out of control, and you have to be like Black Panther on top of this racing car. This is an international poster for our iTunes listeners. It's part of the car chase scene, you know, the first thing that we saw. And he's just on this really cool sports car, and he's raking it in with those vibranium claws, and he's holding on, and you just feel really bad for possibly Claw in that car. So...
It's so cool. I love the purple. I love the amount of like purple they sprinkled in. Like, I love that they're bringing that color forward. I love that it's not just Black Panther. Like, it could just be a matte black, but the energy, the Marvel energy is so bright and colorful that I love they really accented the purple in the poster now.
Yes, and something that you notice with that is, like, with his actual suit, it's not the Black Panther suit that you saw in, say, Civil War or whatnot. It actually is very reminiscent of the one that you see in the trailer, but not completely of that. It is not that purple. It's kind of a mixture between the two of where it's Civil War and then also trailer Black Panther, and I'm just so excited. I love the idea of all of these different Black Panther suits.
Well,
because he's
tech,
part of a legacy.
Sense. Like, if the tech would evolve, his suit would evolve. I like.
Chameleon-like.
What did you think of that last trailer, the last Black Panther trailer?
I loved it.
Yes, you did.
I mean, come on. You know, I'm counting down the days at this point until it drops. You know, the Black Panther has been one of my favorite characters for a long time. So it's really cool to see him realized so amazingly the way they have now. And it's just so... the design elements. You know, I can geek out on that, like all of the little details, the intricacies of the costume. And like when I look at the costume, you kind of see the purples come through. It reminds mm-hmm. me of a lot of how artists have you know, incorporated the blues and the purples and bring in
when the black is too dark, you make the accent mm-hmm. colors.
Right.
And yeah.
So it's just really cool to see this character come to life. They're doing such an amazing job in the world that they're creating. The world building is just bananas just from the trailer.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
It's the only trailer that when I'm in a theater, people always get hyped for.
Right.
You notice that? Like, you watch a movie, you're like, oh, I've seen this trailer 100 times. Black Panther comes on no matter what. As soon as that first bass drops, everybody's like, oh, right, this is happening. We're getting this soon, aren't we?
Yeah.
Because you feel it. You feel it as a world. It's as a world with these fully developed characters. And you can tell this just from them flashing it on the screen.
Yeah.
It's like it has all of this history behind it. And even better yet, it's like Coogler has done it right. Mm. And you can tell. Tell that, and then just from the cast themselves, Angela Bassett, just from the cast themselves, with how they've talked about this movie, how they reacted to the movie at like Comic-Con, it's everybody's on board. You know, well, you just can't wait.
To me, it looks like Lord of the Rings. Like, to me, it looks like the scope of it. Like, as far as like the level of investment, because Lord of the Rings, I remember being a kid and just being like, oh, they made elf costumes and dwarf costumes, and like when they just had all these different cultures. And seeing this movie, I'm like, oh, they've invested in everyone to a level that it's like, it's next level. And I just love that Marvel trusted Ryan Coogler after Creed changed. Like, sports movies are so hard to get wrong, but so many people do. And then Ryan Coogler, like, somehow made a great sports franchise next level up. Like, how do you make a next Rocky without Stallone being the lead? Oh, you make Creed. Like, so I love that Marvel was like, let's take all of those pieces and make Black Panther. And they just, I think they killed it. I can't wait. So February.
Yeah.
Oh,
so now that we've talked about Black Panther, which has to be done,
yes,
we've got some incredible news about Captain Marvel. We know Skrulls are involved.
Yes.
We know that's what's happening. We know that that's going to be a big change for all of Marvel because Skrulls can change what we know of everyone. I still think Black Widow is a Skrull. And I think
Nick Fury's a Skrull.
Have you not heard my theory?
No.
At the end of Winter Soldier, Black Widow goes, I'm going to hide away for a while. I've got some things I need to do. Disappears. She's back. Doesn't mention that. Doesn't allude to anything she'd done. And ever since Winter Soldier, she's been acting different. Ever since Winter Soldier, it's like, I love the Hulk now for some reason. My hair's really different. My fighting style's different. My acting's a little different.
Her hair changes. Well, she's, you know.
But it's not just hair. It's
my hair changes.
Acting style, fighting style, writing choices. It feels like a different Black Widow. It feels like someone perhaps pretending to be Black Widow. I think she's a Skrull.
I think it has to be Nick Fury because it's just, you just can't kill him. You can't kill him. He's not coming back.
So long. He comes back as a Skrull. It's like, well, that makes sense. You've been gone a while, guy.
Yeah. It's like, but I'm just wondering for the Nick Fury, though, have we ever seen the real Nick Fury? That's the thing.
Because that'd be fun in Captain Marvel because Nick Fury is one of the co-leads.
Right.
So it'd be interesting if they flash back to the 90s, which this is a 90s period piece, and all of a sudden we find out Nick Fury's not been our guy the whole time. That'd be, I mean, I'd love that storyline.
Got to make sure the eye patch is on the
side. Yeah, he just swaps it up, takes it off. It's been David Hasselhoff this whole time.
Oh, no.
So the casting call they released for Captain Marvel is theoretically four Skrulls because they're looking for an alpha female, 20 to 49, with fight experience, dance or gymnastics preferred. Delta, a male, 20 to 49, must be over 6 feet tall, broad-shouldered and muscular. And another supporting male, 35 to 45, chiseled, cocky guy, large in stature, but not as big as Delta. Everyone's thinking that Skrulls. I mean, they need them. That's the villain of the movie. That's what's happening. But how does this tie into Infinity War? That's what fascinates me. Because this drops in between 3 and 4. So, do we find out stuff?
It introduces Skrulls into the universe. I mean, until our MCU universe. And yeah, we would kind of need that because then let's say in Infinity War, they totally do something with that. So let's say that Black Widow actually is a Skrull and we find that out when she's killed because she's going to be killed because everybody dies in Infinity War. Mm-hmm. So
that jaw comes out, she turns green, and the whole, every non-comic fan goes,
it's like, what is this?
Credits.
They're like, oh, you should have seen Captain Marvel. Then you'd understand.
No, but that's next.
So that's right.
Marvel to answer the fans' questions. Wouldn't that be amazing if everyone leaves the theater confused post credits, and then Captain Marvel just explains an entire world of people going, "Why was she green?"
Yeah, be like, "Wait, did everybody die, or did some of them die? What happened? Was there the ooze? I know Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. What is this?"
That's my move. That's how I do it. I'd leave the audience confused for 6 months and just be a horrible production. So they're also filming in Louisiana, which is great. I love that Louisiana gets so much because of those tax breaks, because Louisiana is like a rich lust culture, and that shows on camera. They're filming at an Air Force base. Obviously, Captain Marvel's a captain for a reason, so that'll be brought into play. And that's about all we have for Captain Marvel. But with news like this, when this news starts to break, it tends to be like the snowball effect. Once we hear casting, once we hear location scouting, generally they're filming, so we start to get more and more information. Like, Captain Marvel got announced way too early, in my opinion. Like, they were like, here's our slate for the next 10 years. I'm like, don't do that. So now it's finally, like, here, and we're catching up.
Okay, well, one thing is, like, if these are Skrulls, I mean, which Skrulls would they be? I mean, obviously we can't have Super Skrull. You can't have Clurt yet.
We'll get to that story at the end of the episode.
So, I mean, but you can have just about anything else. And, you know, also, except for Princess Anel, everybody else I'd be okay with them making a Skrull for. Because it's just basically a species that they're working with.
Right.
But they have to have the princess. The princess and Mar-Vell, who we have, is Jude Law anyway. So, yeah, as long as they have her, then I'm cool with everything else. Because if you have her, then you get, Huckling? Hulkling. I can't talk.
I do think they're going Young Avengers next. Yeah. I think they're going
You'll have Teddy, so, and then... Yeah, Wiccan. Just go down that route.
It's all right there. And I know that setting it up in the 90s, like having flashbacks and having Skrulls in the 90s is going to be really fun. Like, I want to hear some like Pearl Jam and Nirvana and like that. Because the 90s. Third Eye Blind. Like, it's terrifying to me that like now 1 through 20 is a period piece. Like, you know what I mean? Like, those CDs are all like a really close to the oldies channel. And that was a weird thing. Like, Runaways is the first show, and I was watching and I was like, oh, I'm an adult. Because I was like watching the parents and I was like, yeah, I get those choices. Oh, yeah, no. Right. Like, it was the first show where I was, like, actively, like, parents and, like, yeah, those kids are young. Oh, no.
Yeah. It's like, your room is on loan in my house. Yeah.
But if he's young, that means I'm...
Yeah, exactly. That was the moment I was like, am I identifying with parents? Yeah. Oh, what happened?
That's official.
Yeah, it was the move. That was the first show. It was really funny. That was actually today's episode. We'll get to there. I'm leading in. I'm excited.
I do want to say real quick that Ryan shared with us that the reason why he became a fan of Marvel Movie News was actually our Inhumans critique. So, yeah.
Well,
actually pretty cool.
We were talking about Inhumans in a way that was versed in the comic knowledge, and I feel like a lot of people, when they reviewed the Inhumans, were coming from a place of just fans of television. So when they were talking about Inhumans, they were like, I don't like it because TV problem, whereas we were like, we don't like it because they shaved her hair with a pair of regular clippers.
Or did they treat their powers like it's a problem to be gotten away with so that they can get to storylines.
So it makes us happy that you guys can even appreciate when things aren't all Humphrey Dory, because if things are all good, then nothing's bad, and if nothing's bad, then nothing's really good by way of taste. Speaking of taste, Ant-Man and the Wasp seems to have great taste. They are making it the first rom-com in the MCU, and to me, that's a stroke of genius.
Yeah,
I like it.
We're due. It's one of the few genres we haven't dove in fully. It is a female and male lead. It makes sense that it's called Ant-Man and the Wasp, but if they make it a love story, why not make it a rom-com? Because you got Paul Rudd. You don't waste the Paul Rudd.
Right.
And there's that. He's spunky, and he's got that look. You know, that
hasn't aged in 20 years look?
Just like that, but he's got that rom-com look. I mean,
that charm.
Yeah.
That effortless charm.
He's innately Paul Rudd all the time. Yeah. Like, he's just, since Clueless, he hasn't aged and he hasn't lost anything. So I think that's a great move. And Evangeline Lilly has come out saying that it reminds her of Lost. Now, I'm sure you guys are Lost fans. Most of the world's Lost fans.
I've never watched it.
Wow.
I'm that 1%. I've heard a lot about it, though. So I appreciate the passion.
So I feel like TV, like our current state of TV, there's different phases, right? Like, different seasons is how I refer to TV stuff. So season one of, like, the transformation to superhero stuff, I think, was, like, Daredevil. I think it was early Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., all that stuff. Season two, I feel like, is when we first got, like, Inhumans, Gifted, Legion, all that stuff. We're going into season three, I feel like, with Punisher, with Runaways, with all these new things. I feel like Lost was season one, Sopranos was season two, Breaking Bad was season three. I feel like that's the transformation of television.
Nice analogy.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I feel like Lost doesn't get enough credit for being like, hey, TV can be banana sandwich. So she said, in speaking of Lost, the parallel, when I heard about Infinity War and the direction they were heading, I did had this moment of realizing, oh wow, there's a bit of deja vu for me with the Lost franchise. We're hitting that Lost season 4 space where everything's about to shift and you're about to lose the solid ground underneath you. Ant-Man and the Wasp, of course, will play a part in that. So, everyone dies.
Everyone dies. I'm just preparing you. Everyone dies.
And she also mentions the color of the new phase can clearly be seen emerging in Ant-Man, Guardians of the Galaxy, and Thor Ragnarok. It's just more and more colorful, more playful, heightened reality that we're going to enter. Thor was insane. So if they're escalating from that ground and from the Guardians ground, I'm fascinated by, this is obviously going to be Microverse. So if they're allowing that level of insanity, this sounds like Ant-Man and the Wasp is going to be full tilt crazy.
I hope they go like super bananas with Microverse. I really hope they do. I don't want it to be a small version of what we see. I want it to be like that super bonus level that you get on, you know, a video game, or like all of a sudden you're in a realm that's like Hotelful Boyfriend, which is it's a dating simulator for pigeons. Video game system. But I want it to be out there.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be just this in a small size.
Have you seen Rango?
I know.
Rango's like a hidden gem for me. I think Rango's like one of my favorite, like weird. I want it to be like Rango, where it's our reality, but it's also like, what?
Yeah.
Throughout. Because Microverse, you know, you can make stuff that's normal for us, the everything.
Yeah, yeah. The freedom is there to just go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, and I think it is leading that way, especially if we're talking about Thor. I mean, the world, like that love letter to Kirby that we saw come to life on screen, like all of that color and just all of those little details that it'll probably take like 5 viewings of that movie to really take in.
Right.
I mean, it's all there. And to see those, like imagine that, and imagine all that mind blowing stuff that we saw in Doctor Strange, just those, you know, just that world, just everything moving, everything being turned on its head, like. Yeah, the Microverse should encompass all of that kind of stuff.
And I think the escalation of stakes, you have to earn it as an audience. Like, there was a time when we X-Men had to be in leather because we were like, whoa, it's crazy. They're superheroes. And then, like, by the time we got to Crossbones 15 years later, it was like, this guy's in a full mech suit. And we're like, that's on the street. Totally buying it.
Right,
We've now gotten 5 years past that, where I think not only is it escalating because of our acceptance, but it's also exponential because these movies are coming out so fast and audiences want more and more and more. The Microverse can be full Kirby, full Simonson, full
and
insanity.
They can even play with time in it. Mm-hmm. Well, we don't know what happens to time once you get that small.
Yeah, the Doctor Strange bit at the end was so much fun.
There you go.
Like the coming back and back and back.
Mm-hmm.
So I really hope that, as insane as this sounds, like the way she's describing it, which is, this is arguably the most we've heard about the tone, is what she's saying. So that plus, you know, the option of a rom-com. I'd love to see a rom-com that takes place in an insane dreamscape.
It's like, that sounds fun. That kind of sounds like Guardians of the Galaxy 2 when they were on Ego's planet, where it's just like this heightened sense of reality with theirs.
Terry
like,
Gilliam
made a planet.
And The Notebook. I want that. So
let's get Monty Python and Bandits in here in time.
Aunt Anthony, have we had any luck with that YouTube situation? Okay, I'm gonna move on to our next story and let me know if we have, because we potentially have a surprise for the Marvelites.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed. Mm-hmm. Marquia's favorite Netflix show, Iron Fist.
That's canon.
Matt Key confirms from Geek & Sundry that Marquia loved Iron Fist.
Oh, wow.
Eve has joined season 2. Alice Eve of Star Trek Into Darkness, The Raven of Black Mirror fame is the latest to join the cast of Iron Fist. She is currently playing a secret character. What's fascinating to me about Alice Eve is that she was Emma Frost for a hot second. She was cast as, I don't know if you guys,
no,
she was cast as Emma Frost, and then when a lot of stuff changed and all of a sudden, like, she did like 3 days on, it was the whole thing. So Alice Eve was almost our, which is crazy. So her being back in the Marvel Universe makes me really excited. I love Alice Eve. I'm a big fan.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is a really good get for Iron Fist. I think she's really talented. I think she has a comic book look that'll really translate to what Iron Fist needs to do going into season 2.
Okay. Well, it all depends on what angle they go with it.
Yeah,
there's
absolutely.
There's a number of different characters that she could be.
Yeah,
depending on what they would do. Oh, there's literally so many characters.
Well, I love that Iron Fist, the book right now, the Iron Fist comic is great.
Mm-hmm.
Iron Fist is going through, like, the classic kung fu, like, tournaments and rituals and all these things. And Marvel's done a really good job finding what the best of the comics is and really pulling from that. So if the books are any indication, this is a good sign. And if they're bringing in actresses as talented as Alice Eve, then hopefully the material's good.
Yeah, it makes me hope that they go into, they delve into immortal weapons.
Mm-hmm.
We already got the Bride of Nine Spiders, you know, that we had that previously in the first season. But I mean, if we really go into, you know, delving into that, we get Fat Cobra. I mean, we could have just about anything. I mean, and depending with her, I mean, they could go Serpent Society with it. I mean, she could do Diamondback, Rachel Leighton. she could do that. And then if we get that, we would get Bad Girls Inc. So, you know, we'd have her Asp and Black Mamba.
Well,
her Asp and Black Mamba.
Excellent tangent. A new report from the Hashtag Show states there'll be another Marvel comic villain appearing in the show, and she's a freelance covert operative. Tanya has carried out many high-level missions, a chameleon adept at playing roles. Tanya inhabits the part that best fits the mission, which sounds like Black Mamba, or maybe Lady Gorgon.
Well, if it's Lady Gorgon, I hope that they'll stay more true to the comics then with the casting.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, but if it's Black Mamba, that's that could be a bit more open with things. And then if we did Black Mamba, we could get Rexxon Oil, and you could get Hugh Jones with that.
Well, and they've mentioned Rexxon before. They've mentioned, like, that world building. They've done all that.
Okay, then we're getting Black Mamba then.
Theoretically.
I decided.
Well, because Daredevil led into Rexxon. They led into, like, that being part of what caused the problem, and I still want Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles to come out of it, because you guys know that was canon?
Yeah.
I love that fact so much.
In my Easter egg.
That's, like, one of my favorite world canon moments. Like, the fact that Turtles started from a Daredevil, like, that's insane.
Yes.
So I think
the foot.
The hand and the foot.
Yeah, that's, like, just... How did we not see that as kids? And then all of a sudden it's like, wait, was it that simple this whole time? So those are the rumors for the villains. I'm excited. We're going to lead into New Mutants while we wait on Anthony to see if we have any luck up there. They released a new poster, and it looks like a horror movie.
Wow, I haven't seen
it. It is straight Freddy Krueger, and I love it. For our iTunes people, and you know, flashback to Nightmare on Elm Street. That Nightmare on Elm Street meets Star Wars. Kind of
you see Carbonite here?
I see a bunch of people trapped in Carbonite. And it's, you know, that gray cast with these screaming faces.
I see the Frighteners. I see Michael J. Fox, the Frighteners. Nice. I see Frighteners here when I look at that.
And then, like, scratched on top of it in, like, neon yellow, the New Mutants.
Yeah, like, to me, if I was any sort of, like, regular not comic fan, I would be like, that's not an X-Men. Like, there's no part of this that feels like a comic movie.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
To have all of these properties coming out, and, you know, we talked about it earlier, but to have... each of these properties, if you wanted to be reductive, they're just all superhero movies, right? They're all based on comic book characters who wear costumes, but you can have a horror movie, you can have a space opera, you can have a, like, 70s espionage thriller, you can have a rom-com, you could have, you know, the first Ant-Man, you know, a heist movie in a lot of respects. So there's so many ways that you can do something different under this umbrella.
Under this giant, right. Because it's at the end of the day, most movies are just the hero's journey. Mm-hmm. Like, most movies are just Campbell, you know, right, like that's, but people don't critique that. They critique it because this gives them a button to push and be like, comic movie. But what they've done so well, like the studios that are investing in the good characters is reaching out to making it as diverse as possible.
Yeah.
And I think New Mutants is going to be as far from anything as we've seen so far because of how X-Men, Logan, and Deadpool really showed what they could do.
Yeah.
And, like, Deadpool shouldn't have gotten made, but it did. And, like, Logan got made because Hugh Jackman was like, I'll work for free. Like, you know what I mean? He took a giant pay cut. They took a giant risk. They made a full Western hard R. And, like, I think New Mutants exists because of that. I think audiences showed, if we keep voting with our dollars, we keep getting good things. Mm-hmm. If we keep saying, hey, we're not going to pay for drivel, then we get stuff like New Mutants. And that's, I'm just so happy that exists.
Yeah, it's like the bar has been raised. The bar is so high up. And yes, it's the cross-genre that has really gotten to it. And I love that you were, like, reeling off those genres. Because then all I could think of were other characters I would love to see. Like, I want to see a Tarantino-esque next wave, or Tarantino-esque Spectrum.
After Star Trek, apparently. He's doing Star Trek first, which is crazy.
Wow.
Tarantino's doing a Star Trek movie. Got announced this morning.
Nuts.
Wow.
Tarantino and JJ are teaming up for Star Trek. So that's going to be the most violent Trek in existence. A lot of red shirts, guys. They're coming. What I think is crazy is not only is New Mutants a horror movie, but we had Blade, which I think doesn't get enough credit for starting the superhero wave. A lot of people didn't know that was a comic movie when it came out. People just thought it was a vampire horror movie. So it's kind of cool that we're cycling back to, like, where it started, because I think Blade and, like, New Line and all that really allowed X-Men to exist, really allowed Spider-Man. So it's cool that we're going full circle back to werewolves and vampires, because Morbius is in Spider-Man now and all this stuff. So I think there's some cool synchronicity in that. And we are going to briefly talk about our sponsor before we move on to the stuff I've been rushing to. Blue Apron is glorious. Blue Apron is a fantastic program wherein they have locally sourced food, they deliver to you, and they do it in the most easy to possibly you can't mess it up. They are IKEA instructions of food. You do this, they do this.
IKEA instructions. You said IKEA instructions.
IKEA is so easy.
But not for me.
Really?
Isn't it? IKEA is just like you have two prongs. You put the two prongs in. They don't give you extra.
I'm calling you the next time. Yeah, man.
I have to call people special to come put the bed together.
You got a Bjork. Hold on. I know the Bjork. It's page 7. You just move that over. No, but like you have all the pieces, no extras. You have literally the most streamlined. So I'm all thrown off because I'm like, is IKEA hard? Have I been this weird idiot savant with IKEA my whole life? So you get two people on a meal plan, and they send you enough for two, and just two. And usually meals take about 45 minutes total with prep. It's in, it's out, it's locally sourced food, it's good food. And the best part is, it is food you wouldn't normally know how to make. Like, I don't know how to make certain, like, garlic glazed ham cutlets. Like, these are food. Yeah. It's not like mac and cheese. Like,
yeah,
it's
like
good.
I didn't know how to make farro until I had no apron, and now farro's like I have that maybe two times a week.
Yeah, like lemongrass is my jam. Mm-hmm. And I would never have gone to like Whole Foods and been like, oh yes, lemongrass. Yes. I need to locally sourced, you said. Yes. So like lemongrass is not part of my regular.
Yeah, Blue Apron introduced me to heirloom grains. So
yeah, it's just so Blue Apron, as you can tell, we actually are fans of. They don't just keep our lights on. They are an incredible company, and through us, they are treating Marvel Movie News fans with $30 of free food and free shipping. So if you go to blueapron.com/Marvel and check out and type in Marvel as the code, you get $30 off and free shipping, and it's really, there's no losing there. And what I've done a few times is, like, if my girlfriend's out of town or if I'm just really busy, I make it for two and then I share it with, like, there's homeless people in my neighborhood and I just, like, eat it with them. And I've learned so much. Like, if you give someone a meal and you actually share the meal and you can tell it's homemade, you can learn more about a person than any other way. It's like Thanksgiving every time Blue Apron comes to my house. So I really appreciate that. I don't feel weird about doing it because I'm learning and I'm sharing and it's a really cool experience. And if you want, that's a thing you can do. And Blue Apron's been really kind to us and they're rad. And right now they're featuring baked tilapia with creamy kale, sheet pan roasted pork, chili butter steaks, and creamy tomato pasta that all look dope. And now I'm hungry. So,
nice. Wow, chili butter steaks.
Right? So thank you, Blue Apron. You've been dope. the big stories.
Yeah. Oh, did you do the link for them?
Blueapron.com/Marvel.
Awesome.
Oh, it's in there.
Awesome.
There with zeal.
Yeah.
I want to talk Runaways.
Woo! Yes! We're talking Runaways.
Such news to get to Runaways. All good news, by the way. I'm not upset at any of the news, but Runaways. That show's great, man.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Like, consistently paced, acted.
It's hitting everything that it needs to hit. Something as a reader of Runaways, I know that you're a reader of Runaways. I know he's a reader of Runaways. Everyone says. With it, they're really playing a really nice homage to the actual things stuff. But the differences that are done, that they've been embraced in a way. Like, for instance, you know, earlier before Runaways came out, they said that they would not have Nico cutting herself.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, that's not something they wanted to put on there. So instead of that, and it's just one word of dialogue, whenever she activates the staff, she goes, ow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because the staff is pricking her finger.
That's so clever.
It's checking for that dynasty in her blood. And I'm like, yes, that is how you do that.
And she's plenty dark. Like, it's not like we lost that edge. Like, she's got
she's plenty edgy.
And all the kids play it so well. Like everyone on the show embodies these characters in a way that, like, when that first teaser came out and they, like, lined it up and they made it look just like the cover, I was like, oh, they not only read the comics, they brought them to set. Like, they were like, this is what we're making. And what I really appreciate about the show is how much it takes away the stuff that felt like part of the time period.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of the stuff, the references feel a little dated now because it was written, and like, that's what comics are. Like, they're a piece of the time. This show feels like a timeless version of this, and you invest in the characters more because of the medium.
Right.
Like, we never got to really know your character in the books nearly as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so how did you dive into that when you got the source material? Like, what was your process?
Well, you know, I didn't read The Runaways when it first came out.
Okay.
I was familiar with it, you know, because I wasn't really reading as many comics like into the 90s.
Okay.
And I didn't really come back to reading them regularly until like 09, 08. And then I was just doing a lot of playing catch up and revisiting a lot of things like from my old collection that I didn't have anymore. So when I got the audition, I knew exactly where to go, you know, kind of based on the breakdown of the characters.
Right.
Even though the names were different, I think the character I was auditioning for was like Gregory Williams or something like that. Not Jeffrey Wilder. But, you know, once I kind of saw the breakdown of the parents and the kids, I'm like, wait, that's that sounds like The Runaways.
Yeah.
So then when I went, I went through like the whole volume one in a night.
Yeah, it's a real page
turner. Yeah.
You can just go right through it.
And I didn't want to do that. I didn't intend to do that. I just kind of wanted to. I really, and as an actor, you don't really want to for me, I didn't want to go and read this thing and then to base my character off of, what Brian K. Vaughan did so much. You know, I wanted to familiarize myself with it and then interpret the audition material in a natural, organic way. But I got sucked in.
Yeah.
And I just, I read everything and then I had to kind of go back and deprogram and say, all right, how is this Jeffrey? How does he sound to me? How does he feel? How does he move? And I still wasn't prepared for what I would be doing.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, really, once you turn a few pages and Jeffrey's stabbing a girl. I mean,
yeah, quick.
No, he's he flips it. He flips it real quick.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what I think the show's doing really well is no one is mustache twirly.
Right.
And I love the Runaways, and this does not, like, Brian K. Vaughan is one of the best comic writers of all time. This is not discounting the work here, but I love that they're expanding on that in a way that feels natural.
Right.
Because at no point do I ever feel like anyone is as bad as at points I felt like they were as bad in the book. Because you guys just have more time to play with that putty.
Right.
And even like in the beginning when I thought Marsters was like a little mustache twirly, by episode four, you're like, fine, he's redeemed.
Yeah, yeah.
Hanging out with his son, what a great guy.
Yeah. I'm liking the balance because like your character, like from the comic books, like for me, Jeffrey Wilder was... He was their big bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's just what it was. And there's a time travel aspect in it. And they're like, comic books, oh, they're crazy drugs. Yeah. And everything like that, where he actually comes. Okay. So we're not going to go down that route. But but with your character, with how it is in Runaways, the TV show, I like that you're a villain, but you're not a villain.
Right.
You're not villainous. It's like there's these levels of good and bad.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it's actually very fleshed out because all of us have this character inside of us where it's like, yes, we can do pretty bad things, but for really good reasons.
Right.
And that's something that I'm really looking forward to, that reveal when it comes to Runaways. I need to know this reason because I know what it is in the comic
books.
So, but I'm looking forward to when they bring us that, during this arc for the first season.
I feel like this is the most, as a comic fan, we've gotten to see an evolution from the book while being surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I there's no moment where I'm like, oh, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, the scene with you and your boy back in prison following the episode before where it's you on the streets.
Right.
Those two scenes obviously couldn't live in this medium because it was a different kind of story.
Right.
But those two scenes were two of my favorite scenes because I felt like I already knew him from the book.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like I'm invested in two different ways.
Yeah.
And you as an actor, how did that feel reading the script, basically? How did it feel going from sides to sides?
It was a very pleasant surprise because the audition material, we didn't, I didn't get a lot of where we would be going.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't realize that Jeffrey was going to be as fleshed out, that really all of the Pride were going to be as fleshed out as we were. I was expecting to just play a bad guy. And that would have been fun for me. That would have been new for me.
Yeah.
But to play a guy that has to do bad things because of the decisions he made, and ultimately he has to continue to do them because he loves his family and wants to protect his family, and that is so much more interesting to play and challenging to play. And it was really cool to kind of get these scripts in, and you're figuring out, oh wow, this is who this guy is.
Yeah.
One of my questions was to know where Jeffrey came from. Jeffrey wears a lot of nice clothes, and I remember asking our showrunners, is the wardrobe, is that a costume or is this who he is?
Oh, that's a great question.
And nice. So they're like, no, this is who he is. This is the Jeffrey Wilder that we see. This is who he's trying to be. He's trying to distance himself from that past.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, sweet. Okay.
So this is a coat of armor for him. This is something to show himself that he's gotten out of that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
This is that 10 minutes in the morning in the mirror where you're like trying to adjust.
I'm not this guy anymore.
Exactly.
Right. It's so interesting because, you think the Runaways, you think it's the kids, but it's also the parents as well. They're your character, Jeffrey, he's running away from his past. And so he doesn't want to necessarily do those bad things. And he even questions himself, or he even says, killing is still killing. And, when we saw Destiny being sacrifice. You know, he seemed the most sympathetic out of everyone, mm-hmm. even Catherine, you know, and Jeffrey to me in the comics was so one dimensional and so mm-hmm. cool seeing you sympathetic and so sensitive. And I actually have a question from the chat. Langley M. Neely asks, how much of the sensitivity and humanity was put into the script, or did you bring that yourself?
It was there. It was in the script. Okay. And through conversations, you know, we kind of found the right levels to bring. Because if Jeffrey is overly, we don't want him overly sympathetic and, yeah. and mm-hmm. overly, you know, because then it's a bigger problem in the room. And in that pride, there's a different conversation in those pride meetings, you know, like, yeah. dude, what's yeah. up? We've all sacrificed.
Are you the next sacrifice?
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
like, man, you used to be kingpin. I don't yeah. know
what your move is now, guy.
Yeah. So it was really cool to kind of, you know, figure out where is he? Why does he feel the way he feels? In episode two, you know, I think Jeffrey says, hey, these kids, they're the age that our kids are now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This isn't cool. Like, you know, I get that we have to do this thing, but I'm not happy. You know, Jeffrey's mm-hmm. not happy about that. So it's a really, really cool aspect of the character to play.
One of my favorite moments was in this most recent episode is you when you embody Jeffrey, you have this thing where you actually look more like how Adrian drew the character. Yeah. There's a certain scowl and there's yeah. a certain like face grimace yeah. that is just like, I'm doing stuff I don't want and here I am. But
yeah,
when
the shoulders like pop out.
Yeah, there's definitely like a full physical like yeah. I'm in this. But when Alex like actually cuts you to your core in his bedroom in the scene where he's like, all right, I'll stay in the guest house. Like, that's it. Like, I'm out. Like, when he finally breaks and you finally break, that's one of the few times we see that like facade crumble.
Yeah.
And that was a really cool moment to see an actor playing a side of the character that we literally never saw drawn.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I think that like the medium that Hulu's allowed this to be, this full 10 episodes, this fully fleshed out, that's really special. And when you were reading the original sides, did you anticipate that coming to fruition, or were you just hoping that they'd let you? Like, did you know what I mean?
No, I didn't anticipate it at all. And I was, you know, I think I didn't have a lot of expectations going into it. And really, I thought I was going to be the Jeffrey, for the most part, in the comics, you
yeah.
know? Mm-hmm. So to have, like, that scene in particular, it was really cool getting ready for that scene. And it's just, sidebar, we got a great cast.
I
love working with the entire cast, our entire huge cast.
Yeah.
But, you know, Renzi is, Renzi who plays Alex Wilder. Renzi's a lot of fun to work with. And so we were talking about this scene and this moment. And, I didn't want to be like extra violent toward
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Alex, but I was thinking all this stuff that Jeffrey has been dealing with, the fact that he's been going through these sacrifices all these years and the stakes just keep getting amped up and he's having a hard time figuring out how he feels about that and his place in the pride, but he knows he can't stop trying to keep his past and not really going and just taking Darius out, but
yeah.
trying
yeah.
to handle it, then having to revert back to that past.
Yeah.
And then his son's like, yeah, you're a bad guy.
And then
bad
home.
Guy.
And
like,
then your safe place is what? No longer your safe place.
You
it's
realize
like
all the stuff I've been doing for you?
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah
and,
so
then, and then there's that guilt.
Yeah.
That guilt,
yeah.
too.
And that's
yeah.
the level of Runaways Ooh. That I wasn't anticipating. I mm-hmm. expected, like, because it's a great trope. Like, mm-hmm. parents as the villains is how Runaways sold. Like, right. I remember being like, what a great idea. But with the show, it takes that and turns it on its head because they're not anywhere near what you'd expect to feel as a kid. And that, yeah. and I was saying, like, it's the first show that I've been like, oh, I identify with the parents. I think that's like the writing, the acting, there's so much to it because mm-hmm. there's no one that you really don't like, and it's a huge cast.
Yeah.
Like, there's
yeah.
no one you, and you got
you
a dinosaur.
Yeah, and a dinosaur.
yeah, I mean, I very much appreciate Jeffrey Wilder, what you bring to it. My favorite is Tina Minoru, though. I like, I believe it's Elizabeth. Brittany Tashibashi?
Ishibashi,
thank mm-hmm. you. Yeah, I just feel like she's so put together, and she's just going to have a carry moment, and I can't wait for it,
yeah.
where it's like, things will explode.
It's going to happen, yeah.
She's been voted the cast, the Pride member least like her character.
Oh, yeah?
Brittany is such a sweetheart, and she's funny, you know, and we have this thing where, you know, Jeffrey's always like looking at Tina like, this. And so, yeah, once we, you know, once we call a cut, she's just like, you know. And yes, we have fun with that on social media from time to time. But
that's like, funny.
I don't trust that Tina.
What's it like working on a show with like, say, like Hulu and the pace, and that it's based on a comic versus like The Wire? Like, what's the difference like on set, like going from something as serious and I'd give Wire also like Lost credit. That season one change in TV, like that's a iconic
huge
piece of TV history.
Iconic, yes.
And I think that this comic age is going to be, when we look back, it's going to be like the westerns. Yeah. We're going to look back at the 2000s as like, remember that time when everything was awesome and colorful? What's it like on set? What's the difference between like The Wire and Runaways?
You know, what's funny, it's not as different as you might think, because I had a lot of fun on The Wire.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was so heavy, you know, and serious, but I laughed a lot, you know.
Yeah,
worked a lot with Seth Gilliam, Father Gabriel on The Walking Dead, and another Wire actor that made the Marvel transition.
Idris Elba, sorry, no.
never worked with Idris, but
James Bond, man.
Dominic Lombardozzi.
Oh yeah,
who's the Kingpin's boss.
Yeah,
wow. Yeah, Mr.
Nice.
Fisk,
nice.
And my partner Benjamin Bush. You know, we just, you know, we go from this, you know, this scene, you know, and you know, dealing with some really heavy subject matter, and then when they call cut, and we're, you know, laughing and joking and
good,
you know,
good,
goofing, keeping it light. And there's a lot of that on this set as well. You know, we have a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun. You got to watch out for Kevin Weissman. He's a troublemaker. But we just have a lot of fun. And the cool thing is that there's excitement about these episodes and about what we're doing.
Yeah.
You know, when we're working on episode 106, you know, and somebody would be like, hey, 108's available, and everybody grabs their phone and we're reading and oh yeah, guess what you're
that's
doing, you know?
Awesome, man.
So yeah, it's a really cool environment to work in.
That's great. That's good to hear. Yeah. I mean, that makes me happy. And I mean, I've worked on sets where like 16-hour days feel like 4 years, and I've worked on sets where 12-hour days are like, oh, we're done?
Yeah.
Like, it just, it really is like who's on set and the crew and the cast and working with different directors per episode, but keeping the tone the same and like all that. Like, TV is such a different animal. And it's, I can't imagine someone coming into this and being like, oh, we've made this amazing universe. I've got this amazing cast. I got to keep it the same, but it's got to feel different. Yeah. Oh, this is I can't begin to imagine. So going from something like The Wire to this, that's different universes, but it's good to hear that it's just as fun.
Yeah, well, it definitely helped working on a show where you do have the different directors that come in every episode. You have the different styles. You know, they communicate differently. They shoot differently, different speeds. So now that, and again, it's such a big, like, whenever all the pride is together, you know,
insane.
Okay, his dialogue, her dialogue, his dialogue, his reaction, her reaction.
18 cameras, go.
And then once we're like, oh, then we got some VFX in this shot. Okay.
Ooh,
we're going to be here for a while.
Yeah. But, pull out that huge Knights of the Round Table.
Yes. But it definitely, having that experience on The Wire definitely prepared me for this, you know. And you just, what's cool, again, we all get along, so it's a good, easygoing environment. So we've had great directors have all kind of come in and just got it, and we've established a flow from
that's great.
Job. Yeah,
hell yeah. Nice. I have one more question I want to let you make sure. How's working with Lace?
Okay, here's the thing. Yeah. Here's the thing. Okay.
We need to know.
I gotta
we
know.
Need to know about old ladies.
I don't get to work with dinosaurs often in my work.
Is
so,
she
like
a prima donna?
Yeah, I mean, you can't look her in the eye. You know, you can't touch her green gummy bears.
First team, man. Bowl. First team. There's always one diva in first team.
I got to be honest. So, you know, for people that don't know, green, old lace is a combination of a practical puppet and VFX, and that practical puppet caught me off guard one night, and it wasn't cool at all. I wasn't anticipating it. We were rehearsing and blocking a scene, and Jeffrey drives all of the Pride drive very expensive cars, and I was a little nervous that night because it was dark, and I'm driving my Maybach beside like the Minoru's Jag, and I wasn't trying to, you know, trying to make sure that I don't and still look cool doing it, you know.
$100,000 at stake.
So, and it's dark, and we're outside, and so then, you know, I get out of the car, and then we have some dialogue, and I'm trying to, you know, just make my decisions. All right, okay, cool. Yeah, yeah, I'm in my head. And as I walk back to the car, the light catches. You know, I kind of look down, and the light is shining on old Lace's face. And I just, like, froze for a second because I didn't know. Like, you know, I guess they were transporting her.
You're never ready for a dinosaur.
And just set it down for a second so we can block. And then our director, Millicent, was like, okay, all right, let's run it again. I'm like, well, I need a second because this is not, you know.
You're never ready for that moment. There's no training you can go through to prepare for a dinosaur out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's like.
I love that.
I
just like survival instinct kicks in. Yeah. Like, it's time to run.
There's a dinosaur.
No, I'd have been dead because I froze. I just froze right there and just like, what is
that
thing?
Oh, that's amazing.
Thing? Like, yeah. if I run, it might think I'm, maybe I shouldn't move.
They can't
like,
detect motion.
All of that in like a split second. Like, I'm thinking, well, I can't go too far because the car's right here.
It's funny how that's part of our like built-in. Like, I love when mainstream goes to like history in our head. Like, Steven Spielberg made up this thing where like, T-Rex, if you don't move, we can't. Like, we all believe that as fact.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Like,
right.
It doesn't matter if that was something he's like on the day. He's like, oh, what if it just doesn't move? All of us are like, this is the dinosaur reaction.
And the T-Rex is like, oh, cool.
All right, cool, thanks.
All right,
yeah, I feel like I have to eat that up. But thank you for telling us that Old Lace is the practical joker on this.
Yeah.
Kind of figured it.
Yeah. She looks incredible. Old Lace is like that.
She looks so good.
Because you wait for 3 episodes to really get a look.
Yeah.
And like the practical with CGI augment is the way I think most things should go. And this really proves it because you got stuff like in humans' hair that, you know. And then you got an actual dinosaur with a nose ring that looks legit.
Right.
Like, how did in my brain, if you told me 5 years ago, like, y'all gonna make Old Lace look great, I'd be like, that's not a thing. And then you watch this show, and every time they're on screen, you're like, this is people talking to a dinosaur.
Right.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it's really good. It's all balanced. I particularly, as a comic book reader first, I particularly love the depiction of the parents and also the kids in it, because like with a comic book, I'm trying not to give any spoilers, even though it's comic book, but it might not happen.
What a weird, like,
yeah. It's like, now I can't talk about it. But it's like, because the characters are so sympathetic, because they are doing bad things for good reasons, it lays the groundwork where in the comics, there's a certain betrayal of types that happens. And I'm not saying what's involved with anything, but I'm like, in the comics, I wasn't feeling it.
I love how you're trying
to. You're doing such a good job.
Yeah, you're like, right. eggs.
Yeah.
It's like I'm a ballerina on top of the eggs. I didn't get it in the comics. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, I don't buy this. Fine, let's continue with the story because it has to. Mm-hmm. But with how it's being portrayed by all of everybody in the cast, I totally get it and I feel for it, and I love that the television show has brought that to me as a comic book viewer.
Yeah, so. It's interesting. We've had that conversation with the parties involved
more eggs on set,
you know, and it's just like, wow, do you think they're gonna do that? But what is really cool is, and we talked about it earlier, the spirit of the Runaways comic is alive and well. So even if things don't actually work out exactly the same way, you have those same feelings, it stirs up those same emotions, and you connect with it in that way. So I'm really curious. I mean, it's such a big deal that you kind of feel like, all right, we have to address that
in some way
we have to address that on this show. So I'm curious to see how that's going to play out.
How involved is Brian K. Vaughan? How is he like on?
Yeah, I haven't met him yet. I've been working the times he's been on set, but I wanted to, talk to him. But yeah, he was a part of the writer's room.
You can tell, man. Like, you can really tell the heart, and you can, like you were saying, like the soul of Runaways is here. Yeah. And I haven't felt bad about any liberty they've taken because I can love them both separately.
Yeah.
And that's what I think is really important about comic movies. When you hold too strong, some things don't work. When you let it be loose, but it still has the soul, it feels great.
Yeah. Like, why would I want to watch something that I know like every beat? I know exactly what's going to happen. Like, where's the fun in that? There's no surprise in that. It's like, okay, I could skip an episode because I know what's about to happen. For sure,
right,
you know, but that's really one of the most fun things for me in this world to see how these things make the jump from the page to the screen.
And no one feels out of character, but also no one feels dumb. Like, these feel like kids, but they don't feel like... I love that Chase is a little more of a dude. Like, he's not just a jock. Like, Chase gets some time to shine. And I love that the villains aren't just villains. I love that everyone feels like a human being. And that makes the show... It's a different medium, so it works really well.
Yeah.
So... Yeah. Runaways is really good. Get Hulu if you don't have it already. If you live in another country, find a way to get Hulu. And I'm sorry. I know we have a lot of international viewers. Hulu's worth it if you can find a way. I love it. I love that it's on Hulu. I love that they're taking a chance. I think every network deserves their own Marvel show. But it's got such soul, such heart. It feels like LA. I love when something has like that, like... I love watching Shane Black movies because, like, you love letters to L.A. I love watching movies set in Boston because The Departed, I'm from Boston, so when I watch The Departed, I'm like, I can be home for a minute. Yeah. Like, I love that little bit, and this show is definitely a love letter to L.A. too.
Yeah, exactly. That was, it wasn't by accident, and it's cool, especially the fact that the Wilders' home is, like, 10 minutes away from my place.
Yeah.
So I don't have to go too far to base camp.
There's a location in Pasadena I see all the time. Yes. I live in Glendale, when I see a location in Pasadena, I'm like, I walk by that.
Absolutely.
All the time. That's great. Yeah, so it definitely, you feel that. And we also have two last stories. Can we steal you for another few minutes?
Of course.
But real quick, Hulu's is Tuesdays on... Hulu is Tuesday.
Hulu drops at midnight,
Hulu's
I believe.
Is Tuesday.
On Runaways. There
it goes. Runaways is on Hulu. It drops midnight on Tuesdays. Midnight our time.
Yeah.
Midnight
so
PST.
Nine
p.m. For
California. Yeah. It's midnight.
That part
for
of
the
US.
World. Basically, midnight wake up, watch it Tuesday before our show, because that's what we're going to be doing, and it's fantastic. And it's really nice to have a weekly show. As much as I love binging, it feels really good to have that hype again.
Yeah.
And all my shows are on Tuesday. This Is Us makes me cry. Lethal Weapon
you
makes
too.
Me cheer. Every week.
I stopped
every
fighting
week.
It. I stopped fighting it.
Oh, I just sit.
It's like, okay, let's let it
I
happen.
I turn
let's
my
go.
Phone off, and I tell everybody to let me. It's my crying time. Like, it's just for me. I have, like, a little tissue. I have ice cream sometimes.
Yeah.
I know it's going to be rough.
See, yeah.
Like, Randall's my favorite, so I knew when episode 3 was coming. Like, they just did number 1, number 2, number 3. And I was like, okay, ice cream this week. I'm ready.
And then they went to Howard. So I'm from D.C., and I'm like,
it's personal now.
Like, yeah.
No,
yeah,
This Is Us will change your life. It's amazing. Anyway, that's not a Marvel show. I'll do a This Is Us after show. Any day of the week, internet. We have to talk about two very
that's
important
okay.
stories.
He's not in the MCU.
Yeah, Iron Manos is getting knocked out. Silver Surfer.
The Silver Surfer.
So, but that's actually our next story. Is Silver Surfer coming to the Marvel Universe?
Look at that segue.
Look at that.
There
look at that
go.
Gravity.
Wow. The universe works that way.
Fox. It sounds like Fox is the hungriest to sell ever. Every week we've gotten new stories, every week we've heard new rumors, every week there's a little tidbit about it, and now we have an official statement saying that Fox wants to go to Disney if at all possible, which to me is the closest we've ever come. Bloomberg has offered an update saying, quote, 21st Century Fox Incorporated, the global film and TV company controlled by the Murdoch family, would prefer to sell some assets to Walt Disney Co. because it's a better strategic fit and presents fewer regulatory hurdles and people are familiar with the matter said. That's a literal what? This is 3 years of doing this show. I keep being like Fox Marvel. This is a quote from Bloomberg saying Fox is like, maybe buy us, please. We really were hungry and we'd like to be mutants together again. We might get it.
Yeah, I think it's we might as well say this is happening.
This is as close to happening
it's
as I've ever seen.
What is the ticket price now? $60 billion.
It's
I remember
crazy.
Seeing that online, and it's like you know, at this point, just accept it.
Like,
accept it that this is happening.
We've had like 6 episodes where Marquia and I are terrified of monopolies.
We're
like
terrified. Like,
I'm so afraid of like...
You know what? An airplane flying got me that way.
Because I pay so much for nothing and now they take away our bags and I pay $35 to bring a freaking tiny suit.
Exactly.
freaks me out is the monopoly. What doesn't freak me out is the fact that they're doing it so slowly. It feels like they're actually investing in keeping creators. Mm-hmm. I don't want there to be one studio so people that are pissed off at one guy, that guy never works again. I don't want there to be a woman that, like, I want Lexi Alexander on everything. And if Lexi's got, like, pissed somebody off at Fox, I don't want her not working for Disney sort of thing. And that happens when there's a monopoly. So my problem is, if there's one studio running every comic book property, then there's less chance of risks. Because why would they risk it? You're just profiting.
It's like, how are we going to get our next Guardians of the Galaxy? How are we going to get our next Deadpool if we don't have where they're willing to take risks? Mm-hmm. But, you know, like you're saying, if they are being paced about it, you know, they're really feeling everything out, mm-hmm. then, you know, it's a very strong possibility that maybe we will be able to have things where we'll have Spectrum, we'll have Young Gods, we'll right. have, you know, other outlying properties. I mean, we're going to get the Multiple Man.
Yeah, like James Franco's playing Multiple
Man. That's crazy. You know, so, you know, we'll get our Storm movie finally.
Miramax made Kevin Smith movies. Like, so Disney does take chances. Miramax made a lot of the weirdest, like, Tarantino side of things. So I'm not doubting Disney as far as R-rated or as far as taking risks. As long as they keep something separate enough that we have some versatility, I will take the X-Men back. Like, I want Fantastic Four to be done right, and I think that Marvel has shown us with Spider-Man they can respect the material but also respect the studio. Like, that handshake deal with Sony is, like, the craziest. I never, Ooh. Like...
I'm glad they did it.
Can you imagine right. studios like,
hey, you know what? Yeah, you can play with my toys. You have to pay me, but you play with my toys.
But hundreds of millions of dollars, like you were talking about the two cars. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's what studios are doing with hundreds of millions of dollars. Right. Just like, we got to stay in our lane, but what? Oh, there's a dinosaur. Like, how did that happen? So, what do you guys think about the Fox-Disney merger? Like, well, from a comic perspective, what do you think about that happening?
It's exciting, especially, you know, one of my favorite characters in my top five that can shuffle a little bit, but is the Thing.
Yeah.
Ah. And so I would love to see the Thing treated with love and respect. And to really see that character come to life in the way that, you know, we've seen on the pages and in the cartoons. You know,
yeah.
we haven't really seen that yet.
Who's your five? A shuffle now, I gotta know.
Yeah. Okay. And I kind of liked Michael Chiklis when they had him as the Thing.
Yeah.
I was just like, okay, that's a good casting. And then, you know, I actually saw it. I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, he's wearing pillows. That's cute.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So who's in your five? I'm curious.
Spider-Man, Luke Cage, Black Panther, Iron Fist, The Thing.
All
right. Yeah.
Yeah. Strong. Those are my guys.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that Luke Cage Iron Fist combo. Yeah.
It's something special. Yeah.
I mean,
that bromance is strong.
I discovered them, like, you know, back in the 80s, and I was, like, watching The Chinese Connection, watching Bruce Lee movies, like, and it was just, like, the perfect time. I was looking for an African American character. And the fact that he's partnered up with the martial arts master at that time, like, I'm done. I'm good right
Buddy
here.
Buddy cop plus kung fu? Like, what do you want? That's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, I discovered it. I'm like a diehard Lethal Weapon guy, so when I found out there was a comic that was like Lethal Weapon with kung fu, like I just couldn't even hang. Like, that was my, I mean, I think that's what season 2 of Iron Fist might be, and what Luke Cage season 3 looks like, because it looks like there's a fair amount of Finn Jones, so I'd love to have Heroes for Hire really doing it.
Yeah, for me, I got through there with the Luke Cage route, and then discovered Misty Knight, thanks to Luke Cage,
and then
Daughters of the Dragon. Right. But yeah, I love that bromance between the two of them. It fit.
Yeah,
it scratched that need.
It's
like, I never knew that I always needed this, and that's what it was.
So Fox Disney is as close as we've ever. It's a hair's breadth from happening. We keep hearing about it. It's not quite a story because it's such a story. Like, when it's official, we will have an hour long episode discussing the ramifications, the hopes, the dreams. I will fan cast everyone in Fox. But until then, I'm just going to be reluctantly over here, because if I say it's real and it's not, it's going to break my heart all over again. I don't want to get. It's like Christmas morning opening a box that looks just like that thing you wanted, but it's not quite the. So.
I'm going to say that it is.
You know what I'm saying?
I will say that this is a done deal. If the ink is fresh already.
I just don't want to open up some Hydrox cookies wanting Oreos. That's all I'm saying. All right? I want my Oreos. I'm not going to commit to the Oreos. But what did happen that is real, our final story of the day. I thank you guys for bearing with me, because I had to talk about Runaways for far too long. Avengers trailer, you guys.
Ooh.
That trailer was, like, to me, the culmination of 10 years. That teaser they let out, like, to get us hype, and then it did not let us down. That official trailer was a spectacular. We do not have time to watch it, because it is 2.5 minutes, and we have already gone over. But what we can do is we can go through some photos that I think are very relevant to our needs. Aunt Manthony, do you have some pics we can throw up? And if there's another slow week between now and Christmas, we can watch it with you guys. And I think that there's not going to be another week like this week. We literally covered the world.
So, on another week
when it's slow, we'll have a little kumbaya party. But Aunt Anthony, can we get some pictures? Okay, cool. There's lights pointed at it, which helps.
It's not a bit when we're saying this.
Yeah, now you're on the other side. To be honest, I can't tell what that photo is. Can we skip to the next one? I think that's everyone dead laying.
I was about to say, there's like some people lying on the floor. There's like destruction in the back, and you see two legs come up.
So the way this trailer's cut, if I remember the scene correctly, it's right before they show Loki with the Tesseract, because I've watched this trailer too many times. So I think they're alluding to Loki going back to evil, having the Tesseract, and this being the fallout.
I think that what it is that Thanos ran havoc all on, you know, the Asgardian. Well, I can say this, right? Because I can say this. All the, on the Asgardian on the ship, right? Mm-hmm. And to stop them, Loki had a hero moment where then he gives the Tesseract to Thanos. So that's where I'm going for.
I definitely think it's misleading intentionally in the trailer. And I definitely think this shot of Tony Stark is basically the moment we've seen when he has the nightmare. I think this is the moment from his sweat dreams of like what's happening. Mm-hmm. I think this is the actualization of all of his friends dying.
Yeah, I think he just finished looking down at either Spider-Man or Captain America with how he's looking right
now. There's some moment here. All right, can we get the next one? This is our first look at the Outriders. Now, the Outriders are like this very insect-based species. They're a hive mind. They're very powerful, but the hive mind is usually how they get beaten in the comics, is if you take out the leader, they all fall by the wayside.
After tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, it's like this huge... Yeah, exactly.
Yes, Jatar.
Let's hope there's no space holes.
And for people, of course, Black Panther is giving him the business because they came to Wakanda. You don't come for Wakanda. Wakanda comes for you.
You know, you're right. And that's what this trailer, that's like the undercurrent of this trailer. Yep. It's just like, look how awesome all these people are you've already met. Oh, wait, Black Panther's here too. There's literally like a Lord of the Rings, like Middle Earth tracking shot with Black Panther being like, you know nothing. And like, that to me is so hype. Like, because we haven't had Black Panther yet. So the average moviegoer doesn't know that like T'Challa runs shit. Yeah. Like, I love that.
Where it's like, we will feed you to the Orisha.
And you notice that like Bucky and Cap are standing behind T'Challa. In these shots, like homie's leading everything.
Yeah, and then you actually have to wonder about the group dynamic of these warriors. It looks like to me that we might have White Gorilla Cult mixed in with Dora Milaje, because I feel like we have M'Baku. I feel like that is. I haven't zoomed in.
Yeah, no, I think he has some. One of our fans sent us a photo that circled. I think so.
We have a global threat, and it has surpassed religious boundaries. That happens with these different sects that we have in Wakanda. So it's like that is a power picture there.
And with them taking out the Outriders, like the shot of like Cap and Black Panther teaming up in the comics, the Outriders are terrifying. They're like Brood level. Like they're like when X-Men fight the Brood, that's serious. So Outriders being like the minion level, that shows the stakes of this movie. Like when your low level minion fighters are like one of the scariest things in comics, this movie's gonna be crazy. Yeah, everyone dies.
Iron Man Thanos will kill everyone. Iron Manos.
All right, can we get the next one, please, sir? That we try that shot, and then could you tell us what this is so I can?
Is that Banner?
Yeah, it's Bruce Banner. It seems like he kind of just crashed through something, possibly as a Hulk, and he woke up as Banner.
So I think this shot is, obviously we had the whole of Thor be like, oh, is he ever going to be back? This was my favorite shot for his storyline, because I'm like, I'm going to miss Mark Ruffalo, something fierce, if that's real. I think he's as surprised as we are that he's going to be back. I think that this is literally him falling from space.
I agree. I concur.
Yeah, because he and him landing in the Sanctum is not a coincidence. I think Doctor Strange helped slow it down or something. I think Wu and him teaming up is like them trying to figure it out. And I'm hoping that when he comes back, it'd be kind of cool to have Grey Hulk.
Oh.
Wow.
Right? Because if we see that big of a transformation, like he doesn't, maybe we have a movie where he doesn't know if he can be Hulk again. So when he goes back, then we get Grey Hulk. Then we get like, that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping because if it's like nothing we've ever seen before, I want that escalation.
Yeah, in chat room, it looks like he's in the Sanctum Sanatorium, so.
Oh, and a lot of people in the live chat are saying Grey Hulk, too. Yeah, Zaius Bilu.
Imagine the theater.
Yeah, dude, Mr. Fix-It comes out. Like, we just fully get every version of Hulk. We've had Talking Hulk, we've had Brood Hulk, Mr. Fix-It, like, bring it. Some Todd McFarlane-style Hulk.
We got Frog Hulk.
Yeah, we had Throg referenced in Thor. Oh, God. All right, can we get to the next one? Here we have one of my favorite shots in all the trailer, because this shows... Chris Evans, my God, this guy. He is Captain America in a way that, like, Downey Jr.'s Iron Man, in a way that Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool. Mm-hmm. And I think on any lesser actor, just the act of a beard would throw it off. Because, like, you're like, Captain America, clean shaven. We've had, like, five movies with him. Him with a beard is somehow more Captain America. Like, it's just him as Nomad. He's had enough. He's, like, fought the good fight. He can't take it anymore. I love that they went with this choice because he leaves the whole... He leaves a shield, and this is like a visual representation of this new guy. Nomad's a different guy, and I really love that they went this direction.
Yeah, I love Was it? Yes. Say it again. Say it again.
Get
for the people
that
in the
man
back.
Man a shield.
Yes.
You know, there were like 5 most searched items on Twitter when this trailer dropped. Mm-hmm. Give That Man a Shield was number 1. Spider Sense was number 2. And I love that, like, that line was bigger than Spider Sense. Like, that's saying a lot about Black Panther coming up.
They were looking at Black Panther, like, everywhere. It was so
good. Can you imagine how excited Marvel is right now, knowing February's coming? Like, because this trailer drops, everybody's like, Black Panther everything! And they're like, we still got a movie. Like, they're just waiting to print money at this point.
Yeah, wait till you see it.
Yeah, wait till you see why he's so awesome. Yeah. This shot of Thor, with the space holes that drive me nuts, they're going another one. But it looks like to me a more physical space hole. Maybe that's how Thanos gets to Earth. Maybe there's some sort of like
we've
him bringing
in more. We've got that floating portal that
we haven't learned how to do new things with. So this may be how the Outriders get there, and they have to shut it down is my theory. Outriders get there through these portals. Thor's trying to prevent more Outriders, I'm guessing.
Something like that. It looks like he's trying to close it up.
That's
trying to lock it up.
Still one-eyed, and I'll get the next one. This is a shot of them looking down at Banner. What I love about this shot is we have the power of Wu is shown here. We actually see that he can wield the same stuff as Doctor Strange, and I think he's going to be a key player in the fight.
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely. He's Wu.
He's Wu. He was stronger than Doctor Strange in his movie. Mm-hmm. All right, going to the next one. This shot was the cheer in the theater moment for everyone that didn't realize the Guardians of the Galaxy were finally teaming up with the Avengers. Yeah. This movie's going to have the biggest cast and as Marvel fans, we all knew that this was the big culmination, but it was really cool when I watched this in theaters to see the audience be like, oh, the people I like from Earth are meeting the people I like from space.
Right.
Like, yes, chat room. Thank you. Wong, not Wu.
Oh, sorry. Wong. My bad.
He's Wong.
Wong. I was so Wong and I apologize.
Also, we get a Teen Groot. Right there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Nice little Teen Groot.
Teen Groot.
So,
we are Groot.
I love this whole trailer. This was a big old week, so we could have dove in deeper. There's a lot to see. And Hulkbuster, that is Banner, guys. I'm 98% sure that's Banner in that Hulkbuster armor. The way he bounds, the way he moves, and then there's a shot with Banner next to the Hulkbuster glove. 98% sure that's not Tony Stark in there. I'm afraid Tony Stark dies real soon. I also think that Banner has to take up that mantle because he can't turn back into the Hulk, which ties into my Mr. Fix-It theory. I think Banner's powerless gets in the Hulkbuster armor to try to be part of the fight. Theory.
Well, thanks for spoiling a movie,
Corey. I'm just a guy.
I'm still going to see it.
Just a man that watched that trailer too many times, you guys. I'm just a guy. And then the big shot of the money shot at the trailer is, of course, the Secret Avengers shot.
Running shot. Are you kidding me with this shot?
Last shot we have to talk about is of course, Secret Avengers, effectively.
Woo.
The gauntlets that looks like he gets from Black Panther, the shield he might land with. We got Bucky back. We've got T'Challa leading with Steve Rogers.
Yes, that's
very
right.
Important.
Wakanda fixed him,
and Hulk
Bucky's fixed.
And we have
Hulk. We have Falcon. I think we have War Machine in this one.
Yeah, it's War Machine.
Yeah, we have War Machine.
Once again, Tony Stark doesn't do well. I'm saying every shot in this trailer is like
he's somewhere else. He's somewhere else crying because Spider-Man just died in front of him.
Spider-Man does not die. There's no way Spider-Man dies. Marquia said the Spider-Man dies theory that I disagree with.
Okay, he's just horribly, horribly beaten to where then he doesn't have life in his body anymore.
That's what dying is. So this shot was the shot that everyone paused on this moment. The internet lost their minds. I've seen this GIF so many times and can't see it enough. This trailer broke all sorts of records. This is the most watched trailer in 24 hours of all time. It had almost 10 million views per hour. 230 million views in 24 hours.
How many were you?
I was at least 1/23rd of that. There was definitely a moment where I hit replay and I just went...
It's like, all right.
Yeah, so this trailer was just, it was everything.
Yeah, you just sit there looking at a trailer being like, yeah, how you doing?
I just couldn't hang, man. It was everything. And I loved, did you see the footage, the D23 and Comic-Con footage?
No,
so this was your first exposure.
Yeah, I was staying away.
Oh, good, good, good.
Yeah, I wanted to be surprised. Like, I haven't even seen the newest Last Jedi stuff. I've been trying to just stay away, but I couldn't.
How'd that feel? You're the perfect person, then. How did it feel watching that for the first time?
It was like, I think I was like speechless the first time because it was just... And, person, like, all these characters together. And then when, I'm thinking, okay, I'm good. They've got them all. And then that Guardians reveal. Like,
oh, wait, there's more.
Yeah, I forgot about it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was so cool. And just looking at all of them and the shots were so... What I love is that I don't know what's going on other than, Thanos is coming to town. Okay, of course, I know that. But... in terms of why is Scarlett's hair blonde? You know? where's Steve been? Yeah,
so and we didn't even talk about costume. Vision being human or something.
Like, oh, that's Paul Bettany right there. Yeah.
There's a lot to dissect, and there's also not a lot of given story. Right. There's not a lot. Right. I mean, I assume the Hulkbuster thing, but like nothing's told to us.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we can go in May if you only watch that trailer going into a new movie, and that's amazing. That's a great feeling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like, who's going to beat Thanos? Will they beat Thanos? Yeah. Can they beat Thanos?
And Thanos felt like...
Yeah. We don't have a Captain Marvel. We don't have an Adam Warlock. I mean, who do we have? We possibly have Nebula, you know?
Yeah.
She wasn't in the trailer.
She wasn't in the trailer.
Hawkeye wasn't in the trailer.
We have possibly Scarlet Witch might do something. Yeah. We don't know.
I want to see Hawkeye's Mohawk in motion so bad. The Mohawk Eye. I need Mohawk Eye in my life. That's right. Hashtag Mohawk Eye. But, like, Thanos felt like a powerful force, which I appreciate, because him sitting in the chair has not done enough for me. Mm-hmm. Like, this thing we're scared of, this guy on a toilet. Like, I wanted this, and I got this. So we'll talk about Spider-Sense next week. We'll talk about more of that stuff. Once again, this has been an hour and a half show. I thank you all for... I could not hang with how little Runaways I got to talk last week and this week. Obviously, the right time to geek out about Runaways. Send me all your questions. We'll go through everything in depth. Next week will probably be a slower week because I can't imagine what else will break unless Fox just wakes up and is like, we've sold everything to Disney. In which case, we'll do a show on a Monday morning. This has been great. Where can they find the internet, man?
Yeah.
The Ryan Sands. I'm at The Ryan Sands just about everywhere. Instagram, Twitter. It's my website, The Ryan Sands. That's where I am.
Perfect. You guys still filming?
No, we're done.
Good.
We're done. Cool. I'm just waiting for that
time
phone
for you to
call.
Film season two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That phone call. Right there.
That's the phone call. Everyone I know is loving it. It's doing great. Like, from what I hear, and that's really the fans love it. And I think that Hulu is going to listen to that. So I look forward to that phone call for you.
Thank you.
And I can't wait for season two. And, maybe we'll have you back on for the finale or something.
Oh, man, that would be great. I had a blast.
Thanks for reaching out. That was my favorite little, like, oh,
so. Yeah, I was the same way at home. Like, yeah,
so appreciate it. Yeah. Where can they find you, Markia?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Markia McCarty. That's MarkiaMccarty. And on Snapchat, Darth Fenness. And also is my Twitch. I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to start doing video games because I play it already. So why not share that with you? You can see me yell at screens and sing. I sing a lot. It's so weird. But check me out on Skybound. Not this Friday, but next Friday, we'll be doing comic book roundtable where we will be discussing the weekly comic releases for Skybound and Image.
And good sir.
Hi guys, I'm Oliver Jen. Follow me on all social media platforms at Ollie Dreamer and tune into the Runaways After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Ryan, you should come in. We're inviting you. Please come in, talk about the show. Cool. Tonight you don't have to come tonight. but we do the show on Tuesday.
I've kept this man an hour and a half. I promised him an hour, and I was like, no.
But we do Runaways After Show on AfterBuzz TV Tuesdays at 8 p.m. California time.
And I've been Koi Jandro at COYJANDREAU. I do interviews on Instagram, and you guys can actually send me stuff you want me to talk about. I love the open source nature of the internet. I'm going to be talking about Runaways this week. I'm going to be talking about some books I've read. I love sharing what I love with you guys because I think that's the only thing that really keeps us going and why the internet exists. So send me stuff you like. And next week, I'm going to be watching one of my favorite movies of all time and drinking here at AfterBuzz, A Knight's Tale. We're going to do A Knight's Ale. And we're going to drink and watch with jousting rules.
Are you serious?
Yes.
I love A Knight's
Tale. Dude, next Tuesday, right after this show.
I've seen it like 20 times.
A week from this moment. If you'd like to be our producer, good sir, this is an option. This is my pitch.
I'm so down. As long as I get to watch it, too.
Of course, man. Next Tuesday at 3:30, A Knight's Ale. And I'm so excited to watch that magic and share it with you guys at AfterBuzz. So if you guys would like to join us, it'll be live, it'll be streamed, it'll be embarrassing, and I'll say stupid, stupid things. Yeah.
Drinking.
Yeah, it's Los Angeles. So thank you guys so much. Thank you so much for joining us, man.
Thanks for having me.
This was a pleasure. This was so much fun. And we'll see you guys next week.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. Views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.